WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Doublespeak, the art of manipulating language to obscure meaning, is practiced from Madison Avenue to the halls of Congress. Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg has some thoughts on doublespeak and on one man who spent his life eschewing obfuscation.
William Lutz is sort of a Ralph Nader of modern public discourse. He's devoted his life to eradicating the misuse of language in high places. Lutz is the chair of the Committee on Public Doublespeak of the National Council of Teachers of English. For the past 16 years, the committee has presented an annual doublespeak award to the public figure or institution responsible for the most egregious use of public language. For example, in 1987, the award went to NASA and the space shuttle contractors for their explanations of the shuttle explosion, what NASA called the Challenger anomaly. In 1984, the award went to the Department of State for its press releases describing the Grenada invasion, or as they termed it, the pre-dawn vertical insertion. Lutz has file cabinets full of this stuff, and he's emptied them all out in his new book called Doublespeak. It is a catalog of euphemism, gobbledygook, and deceptive mumbo-jumbo pulled from every aspect of modern life. There's the curious dialect of the airlines, in which flights that make several stops are called direct, and where safety instructions advise passengers what to do in the event of non-routine operations. There's the language of modern food technology, which has brought us such innovations as non-dairy creamer, restructured beef, and low-cholesterol cheese alternates. There's the jargon of education, in which a school board can announce a program aimed at maintaining the optimal wellness of the total community. Not surprisingly, the Pentagon takes some star turns here. A cruise missile doesn't crash, it impacts with the ground prematurely. A machine breaks down because a hexaform rotatable surface compression unit underwent catastrophic stress-related shaft detachment, or in other words, a nut broke. And Lutz includes a number of classic examples of political doublespeak, such as former White House spokesperson Larry Speke's description of the removal of the Marines from Beirut to offshore ships. The Marines are being deployed 2 or 3 miles to the west. Taken in moderation, the book yields an almost prurient pleasure. Lutz chronicles the linguistic peccadilloes of the powerful and the famous in just the way that periodicals like the National Enquirer report their carnal lapses. And in either case, you find yourself experiencing a highly enjoyable sense of indignation. Maybe that's why political doublespeak has been the most reliable staple of language critics since George Orwell. I won't deny this can be a lot of fun, but there are a couple of things worth bearing in mind. In the first place, is doublespeak really such a bad thing? Maybe there is more humbug around than there used to be. But what this shows is mostly that our high officials have to pay more heed to public opinion than in older days and have to cover their tracks accordingly. I'm sure that Genghis Khan was a plain-spoken fellow. You'd never catch him referring to a spear as a manually launched longitudinal projectile. He called a blade a blade. But it would be a mistake to think of this as refreshing candor. If somebody's trying to run me through, I'd assume they'd be worried about how they're going to explain it to the press afterwards. The triumph of hypocrisy is the greatest achievement of civilization. And in fact, the people we want to watch out for aren't necessarily the ones who drape their thoughts in obscurity and euphemism. That game is fairly easy to see through, which is why General Haig was such an easy target in the last presidential campaign. But recent history should teach us that it's just as easy to cloud the truth in plain language as in any other, and a lot harder to get caught out in it. Shakespeare made the point nicely in King Lear when he had Cornwall say, "These kind of knaves I know, which in this plainness harbor more craft and more corrupter ends than 20 silly ducking observants that stretch their duties nicely."
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.